Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast from the Dolph of Angus. As always, I'm your host, Paul Fillion, here with my delightful co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. And you?
Excellent. I went to my little chillax voice at the end there. It was smooth, like Antoine.
Yep.
Smooth. Oh, buddy. So, yeah, how's it going tonight?
Going well.
Excellent. Yeah, we're starting early.
Yes.
We might be awake. It may be a little less random than normal. But, Wow, I said a little. I'm not trying to get people's expectations too high here, buddy. It's all good. But I may not fall asleep while recording.
That's a good point.
I was going to say, I won't snore into the mic. However, I may sniffle as allergy season is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are both old men being affected by seasonal allergies. Ugh. So, what is on your painting table tonight, buddy?
Same thing as last week. I'm continuing Howler for my arc team for Pulp City.
Oh, I thought he was done.
No, he was almost done, and I didn't paint for the rest of the week. I had not touched the brush since
our little Friday. Hobby get together.
Yeah. I was away part of the weekend, and I started watching a show with my wife, so less hobby time.
Well, that'll teach you to spend quality time with your wife.
Yeah. Well,
unless it was that time I got reincarnated as a slime.
No, nope, it wasn't that.
Well, then you wasted your time.
Yeah. I do watch that in my commute, but I've been working from home or having a... How do you say a ferry?
Holiday.
And this weekend was a holiday up here, so less commuting time, which is good, but it's also my anime watching period, so less anime watching.
Yep. We had a variable holiday. It was the Queen's birthday if you were English, and it was the Patriot's Day if you're French.
Yeah.
Not the New England Patriots, mind you.
Or La Fête de Dollar if you're over 60.
Not over 60. I mean, that's what it was.
That's what it was called when we were young. So I know.
Well, wasn't it called that until just a few years ago? I don't know when they made the switch.
I think it's pretty recent.
Because I only ever heard Fête des Patriotes this year when a government official was asking me about it. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It was kind of funny. I've never felt so Anglophone in my life. Yeah, I'm also working on what I was working on last week. I'm doing some Circle War Beasts.
Same War Beast, or it's moved on a bit?
Well, I've got five of them on the table right now. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, it's a bit like me. I'm working on the Howler right now, but I have the Primate of Nature that I started the base coating, and I got a couple of other monkeys on the table. Or a couple of apes, not monkey.
At least they're not on your back.
No, that's true.
Oh, my clever pun. Yeah, so I'm pretty much cheating at this Circle of Orbros thing. My deadline is looming, though, so I'm allowing myself to cheat.
Are you cheating at painting?
One thick coat.
So you got the... preview contrast paints?
Or? No. No. That's good old Agrax Earthshade on some underpainted stuff, as Kathy Wapple calls it. Or shaded base coat, as Jim Wapple used to call it. Or I don't know what Matt DiPietro calls it. But I guess, artistically speaking, I have painted in the values. And now I'm...
sketch style or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glazing over it. To add some color. It works really well, as you know, because you did that a lot with your monkeys, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, most of them are painted that way, so.
It certainly works. I am not dissing it. And honestly, these things would be so boring to paint anyway. It's like they're really made for dry brush, more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not... And this is not knocking the models, because I actually quite like the models. But they're not that visually interesting.
Well, they're rocks.
They're rocks and sticks, right? It's like there's only so much you can do with that. Yeah, I was actually talking to a GW rep today about contrast paints.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I won't be able to get them right off because they're going to be exclusive through partners that carry the paint range and all that stuff, which is fine. We get downgraded in our status. So, so yeah, I won't get to play with those for a while. I'm kind of curious about them, see what the consistency is.
Mm-hmm. The Game Workshop stores will get them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I work right next to one, so I could get a couple of butts just to try and bring one to a painting night.
Well, I can get some. There's a local guy just down the street from me that'll also have them.
Oh, okay. You'll be able to look at them.
Yeah.
And try.
I don't know which color I would really be interested in, mind you.
Yeah, that's a big question for me too. Like, it's not like, the way I'd like one coat for most of what I'm working on. So, what project would I try them on?
That's just it. I'd have to have something where I was doing like a small unit or whatever, all the same colors. Like a Mercs team would be perfect, right? Six models, you get your, you know, a few contrast measures, you could do the six. I guess you could do a kill team, right? Pick up a few models.
Did you want to do a new kill team? Or you did, the one you did already was fine. Didn't you want to try a Imperial Fist?
No.
No?
I talked about doing Imperial Fist originally.
Yeah, but if you want to do a new one.
Would I really want to do them that way? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either, so. And I've seen the results of the yellow, because they've done a bunch of, people have got posted pictures of samples and stuff they did.
Yeah.
And I didn't particularly like the effect the yellow had. You know, certainly better than unpainted, but, it didn't really tickle me pink either. But anyway, it'll be fun to play with whenever those come out.
Have you been able to work on something else during the week? Or that's been the circle all the time?
No painting, really. I also have not worked on anything since we did our painting night. Which is why now I'm super far behind.
Your deadline is looming. It was like start of June or something like that?
Yeah, by the end of the month. So yes, it's looming. I've got 9 days, 10 days. So as my mom would say, I gotta poop or get off the pot. So, to use the same euphemism, I'm attempting to poop.
Yeah. Yeah. On my side, I worked a bit more on the monkey, but not much. The rest has been making molds and starting to cast the swag bag item for the National. So my molds are almost done. It's a 2-part piece. And one of the part need a 2-part mold. So that's 3 molds and I need 2 of each to be able to produce enough. So I have 4 out of the 6 pieces done and I started producing the wind piece mold. So I have my first sample in front of me, and it's working great. So I just need to see how the 2-part mold will come out. And after that, I can produce en masse. Because like you just said, I need to poop with that too.
Yeah, your deadline's also looming, and your deadline is not a little self-imposed thing for fun. It's
Yeah, I have the same deadline, but...
For different reasons.
Yep.
What are we at for Guild Ball Nationals currently for attendance?
We're up to 37 people registered, so it's up a bit.
That's good. That's good.
If we're able to go to 40, that would be cool because we would have one of the two big expenses covered for the winter.
That's the hotel room, right?
Yeah, the hotel room. The last one, the flight, is at 50, and
we won't hit that.
Us getting that in just a couple of weeks, less than a couple of weeks now.
Yeah.
Sadly, but still. Price support I've started to enter. So, it's cool. Still negotiating with a couple of sponsors. At the time we are now, it's going to be online vouchers for those, but still, it's more price, more support for the players. So, that's cool.
Yeah, well, online vouchers are still something, right?
Yep. Still need to announce some of them online. Doing a slow release and announcement over the weeks. But yeah, that's mostly it. Now it's casting the swag items, collating the mats and the terrain we have, and getting back the clocks. We lended the clocks to another organization for a tournament, so I just need to get them back before the event.
That would be handy, eh?
Yep. Well, most people already have theirs, or they have phone. The store has a bunch, so it would be easier if they were all set up already. But we could probably manage without getting the full allotment. The bad part is we lended them to an organization, but they split them between themselves for different side events. So you have to go to two different places, and neither are closed. So
you have to go.
Yeah, because in theory we're selling the clock to them because we're Chaos, which was our old group. I've already sold the clock, so we're just using them one last time. So.
Oh, I didn't realize the clocks were sold. Okay.
Yeah. The agreement has been reached. It's just a money exchange now, which will happen at the same time as I bring back the clock, or they come get them for their own event. But still.
Convoluted life.
Yeah, that mixed with the... we're selling a lot of the stuff from the club and trying to finish that transaction this week, hopefully. Because there are people moving who have some of that stuff stored at their place, so
need to get out of there.
That out, and I don't have the space here to add everything. So hopefully, if it can be all done this week, it would be easier because I could also empty part of my house before a kid's birthday party here this weekend.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. That's why I don't want to bring everything here. It would fit. I wouldn't have place for the kid's party.
Well, which kid is it? And how much do you love them? Could you make it a chess party?
Mm-hmm. If he was a bit older, I could make it a miniature game party, and we could use those elements in it. Playing the pile of boards there. That's a table.
Yeah. I'm just trying to picture that. That's, yeah. Not so sure, buddy. Not so sure.
Yeah. That's been mostly my week, hobby-wise. A lot more prep than I would like. But once that will be done, and the national will be done, so in a couple of weeks, all big preparation will be over for me, and I don't have any more commissions either. So that's like all free time. That's going
to
be...
I refuse to believe it. You don't have free time. You lie.
Well, free hobby time. I'm sure something else would pop up.
Yeah.
But right now...
Because your name is Antoine. For this very second, it looks like it's going to be free time. I gotcha.
Yeah, but I've also turned down everything else that came up since then about events. It's just too complicated right now. So I've turned down all of them. And I don't have commissions lined up. So I could do projects for myself, work on the production of my own minis, maybe build a website or something like that. But it's all for me now. Nothing else lined up, which is good.
That's weird. You never do stuff for you.
Well, I do a bit. I painted a lot for myself recently. And I have so many small boards project or small skirmish forces I want to try that would be fun to be able to finally finish them. Just thinking about the Anarial, I've painted one of the fours but never made the second one. So if I could paint the Fubarni, I would finally have them fully painted and I could try out the game.
At the game of legend.
Yeah.
Someday, Antoine, someday.
Yeah.
It's like me in Pulp City. Someday, Antoine, someday.
Oh, you have minis now?
Yep. Yeah, and I ordered bases.
Oh, you were able to find the bases you want?
So I realized that... Okay, well, no. But I ordered some anyway, of a different kind. Okay. I realized that I had bases here from when I did Merc's teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through them and I found them. The problem was I didn't have enough... I didn't have all the sizes.
Yeah, the bigger size you probably didn't
have. So I don't have 40s and 50s, right? Mm-hmm. And the supplier doesn't carry them anymore.
Oh, okay.
Or carry that series. So I don't know if the series discontinued. I didn't go looking because there were bases from back before MicroArt Studio split.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Ruined Factory bases. And I thought that would be a cool, like, bunch of bases for villains, like standing on rubble, you know, bricks and pipes and stuff. Like, that could totally work in, like, a city, you know?
Yep.
Instead, I ordered MicroArt's bases. They're just called Ruins, but they really look like ruined asphalt to me. So I'll try those, see what they look like.
Oh, sure.
Worst case, I do have enough of the Ruin Factory for all the 30 mils. And for the 40 mils, I have 40 mil urban bases, but they're 40k bases, so they're not round-lipped. So they
fit. Oh, you could send them and fit them into a bigger round lip.
Well, I need a 40 mil. So, you know, I'm not going to sand the 5 millimeters off.
I understand what you mean now.
So I could have a 40 mil on a beveled edge as opposed to a round edge. It's still 40 mil. Mm-hmm. It would just look odd because one model would be on a thicker base that's not the same edge as the ones.
But those could be sculpted too.
Well,
maybe not by you, but they could.
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, the only sculptor I know has a lot of important stuff going on in real life and very little time to himself, and I'm not going to add to his workload.
Yeah, but you could in 2 weeks.
Well, anyway, we'll see what happens when they arrive.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that kind of takes us into our topic. Segue.
Well, before that, have you played something? I don't think you've played anything.
I just skip gaming now because it never happens. Though there's a rumor that I might have a game on Saturday against Steve. So there might be a chance for me to actually get a game of Guild Ball in before I go play the Nationals the week after, if I play.
That's good. Yeah. We tried to have a game. We tried.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, your games. What about you?
I did play one thing. I got stuff able out this weekend with my son and my nephew.
You have a nephew?
Mm-hmm. He's a bit younger than Theodore. I think it was a bit limit, and we were in a pretty noisy place. There was a lot of stuff happening around, so it made it a bit harder because there's a lot of reading the story as the chapters move on. So it was harder to keep their attention, but they were still interested. And there was a younger nephew that just stayed close, play with the miniatures and just listen to the stories part. And he still stayed there all the time. The game is fun. It's a bit more, not convoluted, but a bit more involved than I thought it would be for the kids. So Theodore, I think, would be fine after a couple more plays to not need help.
Well, he's going to be 9, right?
Yeah, but the Nifu is a couple of years younger, so...
Yeah, it might be much, right?
Yeah, it was a bit much, especially with where we were playing. In the calmer setting with just them, I think that would have been easier.
That could be.
Yeah. Well, we went through, I think, half of the first story. There are 7 stories in the game. For people who don't know, it's... you're playing like plush toys from a little girl, and you're protecting her during the night. And they call it a storybook game because one of the component is a big spiral-bound book. And on the left-hand sides, you have maps, tiled maps. And on the right side, you have the story parts and explanation. So as you go, every page is a new page in the story. Or it's a bit like a choose your own adventures. Depending on what you do on one segment, you'll switch to a different new page and the story continues. And you have 7 full stories. Like the first one, the story is the little girl is moving to her big girl bed out of the crib. So she's no longer protected by the magic of the...
Of the crib?
Yeah, magic of the crib. So there's the baddies start coming in the room and stealing stuff. So your plushies are there to protect her during the night.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the concept is cool. It's probably a bit...
that sounds like something to give my daughter nightmares. But...
Yeah, she might be a bit young for it. She could probably play with help. The good thing is... There's nothing that ends badly, exactly. Everything is resolved. There's some bad stories, but it's everything that kids have experienced. That's what, like, there's that. The second one is about wetting their bed and going to the bathroom during the night. So, fear of the dark and stuff like that. It's really well made. The game came out, I think, a year and a half ago, but the French translation just came out, so I was waiting on that to get it, because there's a reading, and I didn't want to translate on the spot when there's, like, 70 pages of stories. But
way to wuss out, Antoine.
Yeah. But I really liked it, so I look forward to trying it in a calmer environment. I'll probably try it with my son and my wife next time, if we're able to put the younger one to bed, or on a weekend where she's away with the grandparents, maybe, or something like that. So I'll report back again next time.
See how it goes in the second playthrough?
Yeah, and there are some rules. Like, I read the rules, but I was really tired last week. And some stuff, I don't know if it's because of the translation... I wasn't exactly sure on, so I need to reread. And I've been reading Blackstone Fortress at the same time, so I think I was mixing some rules.
Did you pick up Blackstone Fortress?
Yeah, I mentioned that a couple of shows ago.
Oh, yeah, in a trade or something, right? That's supposed to be a really good game.
Yeah, I like it right now from just looking at the rules, glancing at the rules mostly, but... I'm looking forward to try it, but there's more involvement toward the hobby side in that one because everything is on sprue, so I need to clean up, assemble.
40-some-odd miniatures, 44 miniatures.
Yeah, while the miniatures in stuffed fables are pre-assembled and all one piece, so I don't know if they're one piece or the base have been glued. I didn't check close enough. But everything is ready to go if you don't paint them. So it was easier to get that out on the table. And it was a better fit with 7 years old nephew.
Yeah, exactly. Blackstone Fortress may not be aimed at the 7-year-old.
Yeah. But that's all the gaming I've been doing.
Well, still, that's a fair bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope my daughter's going to like gaming. I mean, I've always got my son, but that's a longer way to wait.
Yeah.
My son is only 2, so I hope my kids are nerds. All right. So that's it for that, buddy?
Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Okay. Should we go to our main topic now?
Sure.
Excellent. What was it again?
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. No.
The last show.
Right.
No, it wasn't that.
No, it's right. We were going to steal a topic.
Yeah.
From our lovely friends over at the Hobby Hangout. They had every Monday they do a hangout and they have a question of the week or whatever. And this week's question was kind of interesting. It was, have you custom or scratch built a piece before? Was it for a competition or just for gameplay? What were the biggest challenges? Now, I'm not much of a scratch builder, so I don't have much to add to this. But Antoine, on the other hand, is like Mr. Scratch Build. So I figured he could talk a lot and I could paint.
Okay. I've done big conversion. I've done scratch building. I've done full sculpts. I've not done full sculpts for games yet. Everything I've fully sculpted was for either for fun or for painting or for practice.
No, I'm going to say that that's not entirely true, buddy.
No?
Because I have a guild ball here that was certainly made to game with, and you sculpted that.
Okay, yeah, but that's an accessory. It's not a full mini.
Fine, so, you win this round.
I didn't consider that part. So, but yeah, I've done multiple balls, if you count it that way. Ball tokens. But
yeah. Antoine's got multiple balls, people. We're just,
Yeah, I got a couple.
Okay, we're gonna stop because I was gonna run with that and no one wants to hear that for radio.
No one's. So, I've done some, conversions that were pretty intense. The first one was, I have Albata, which is a French name, Captain Arlok.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yep. So I did a Captain Arlok conversion for a Dark Eldar faction based on Archon. In the end, it was almost a full sculpt. I had a plastic dolly inside. That's about it. And the weapons. But the rest was fully sculpted over it. But the rest, for gaming purpose, it was mainly conversions. Either for myself or for commissions.
Well, I know you did some cool troll conversions for War Machine.
I've not converted a lot of my own trolls. I've did some conversions for other people for trolls.
Oh, I thought you had your Mulg was converted and your Rock.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, Mulg. That's true. I did what they call the Extreme Mulg, which is using the Dire Troll Extreme and transforming him into Mulg. So the Dire Troll Extreme part, you add the giant rock from the regular mold on his back and sculpting the rocks to make a seam between his body and that part and modifying the head and adding the rune staff. So that was a good one. The rock is a simple one. I just mainly change his end to make like a...
Like he was throwing up the horns?
Yeah, throwing up the horns.
Because he was rocking?
Yeah. Bad pun word.
That's okay.
The other one, I've done some for my pigs. The first one was the road hog, because I really dislike the model of the road hog. You make me think of, what's the boar in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, that's either Bebop or Rocksteady, but I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I think it's Rocksteady. I really don't remember, but the cartoon one, he has the same face. He's cartoony. His visual style is a bit different than the rest of the faction, and I really didn't like it. So I did a pretty big custom matchup between him, a regular Warug, and other pieces, and also in the previous version of the game in Mark 2.
Yep.
One of the caster, Dr. Arcadius, could use a circle war beast.
Oh, that's right. He could use the Gorax.
Yeah, he could use the Gorax. So I converted my Gorax to have like cybernetic, mechanic pieces on them, like the other pigs have.
Steampunk cybernetics, yeah.
Yeah, steampunk cybernetics to fit the team. But, so I did a couple of those. And the last one, last big one that I can think was the Rager, the Gorax I did for you. Because you didn't like the Gorax, and I did a wolf themed Gorax for your birthday.
Yep. He is on the painting table. Because he's in the other list I'm painting, so.
Oh, that's cool.
So he'll finally get to see some painted table time. He's been on the table before, just never painted.
I've done other miniatures in the past. I've done smaller conversions. Like, it's mostly weapon swaps, head swap for my Chaos Space Marines.
You're really going far back.
Yeah. I was building a zombie pirate army from the Lustria campaign in Fantasy. I think it was back in 5th edition. I still have most of it. I still have stuff that's unassembled. But I was about halfway through of it. It was mainly like bit swaps using Empire troops and zombie parts together, adjusting the poses, a tiny bit of green stuff to modify them to be sure they fit, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's not large conversions like on an individual scale, but you start doing whole armies of it, and it gets pretty pretty ridiculous. At one point, I was going to do Khorne Berserkers. I was going to do a Khorne army years ago, and the Khorne Berserker models are some of the worst models GW has.
Yep.
Even 10 years ago, they were probably some of the worst models GW had.
At release, they were some of the worst models.
Yeah, they're just like the poses are all super dorky, and they're just ugly. Like, there's just no way around it. And there's really no redeeming quality to those models. Anyway, so I was doing squads of them, and so I was resculpting and like repositioning all the legs and all the guys and trying to make them more dynamic and less like weirdly ballerina, post. And it became like a monstrous task. Just to do like 20 berserkers was more effort than I was willing to put into it. So I think I got about 5 done, and I was like, yeah, I'll just wait for new stuff to be released. It won't be that long. Little did I know.
Yeah, don't hold your breath.
Yeah, but I didn't know that at the time, right?
Oh, no,
for sure. Didn't. These fugly models won't be around forever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was fooled. Because they've been around for a long, long time. And it's funny. I would assume that, and this is going to tangent, I would assume that Khorne is fairly popular, right? So
yeah,
it always amazes me that with all these, other Chaos releases, freaking Sisters of Battle are coming back. And
those are still the
Khorne Berserkers models are still the same.
Yeah, maybe they just don't have a good design for them.
Oh, come on. Everything's 3D sculpted now.
Yeah.
15 minutes in ZBrush. They've got the freaking Age of Sigmar guys. Just convert those to 40K. Give them a bolter. Get rid of their sword. Give them a bolter and a chain axe and send them on their way. In fact, when Age of Sigmar launched with the...
A lot of conversions of the...
Yeah, the Bloodbound, is that what they're called?
Something like that.
Like, those models just scream to be Chaos Berserk, Corn Berserkers. Corn Berserkers, yeah. Like, you cannot get anything that looks more Corn Berserker than that. And it's funny, even in, like, third-party models,
I don't know even if but I think they're too specific.
Why? Because they're helmet shapes or something? And,
well, in third-parties, isn't it mostly... No, that's true. There are some really specific chapters.
I mean, there's Daemonettes and stuff, right? Like, there's stuff that's like... You know, you look at it and go...
Yeah, and well, there's a ton of Nurgle stuff.
Guardsmen and like...
Yeah, but Guardsmen could be generic humans.
Yeah, but you've seen the Victorian miniature stuff, right? That looks like Cadians as wearing Cadian armor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm not trying to call her out. I think her you know, she's a lovely person. I think her models are great, but... Like, I can't see it being a, oh, there's no way to get around the copyright. We'll get sued into oblivion. Like, so maybe there's just not as much interest as I think there is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Might be a sculpting interest too. Maybe there's just no girl sculptor just want to work on that. Because there's so much Nurgle out there that people probably like working on Nurgle and just don't want to work on
sculpting. Yeah, who doesn't like to sculpt pustules?
Yeah. And it's probably easier to sculpt a pustule than like 25
skulls
on a single pauldron.
It's all digital sculpting. Can't you just copy paste? Every digital sculptor in the world is listening to this right now. wants me dead. No, you can't just copy paste. We'll get hate mail from Patrick Keith. Actually, I don't even know how much digital sculpting he does. He's still, I think, adapting to that. He's more a traditional sculptor.
Most recent Kickstarter that completed last week was... Digital. Wasn't it all digital?
I believe so. Yeah, like, I would love to undertake giant projects for the sake of playing the game. But none of the games I play really encourage conversions that I actively play. 40K, you know, used to... they've probably improved, but for a while they felt like they were moving away from that conversion, like, support.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the new administration, it's probably a lot better. But I don't really play 40K anymore. I keep threatening that I'm going to someday, but it's like that old CCR song, Someday Never Comes. It's like that game against Yom for his birthday from 4 years ago that we never played. I keep threatening, I keep buying models.
Yeah, that's the worst part. You keep buying and painting some of those models, but that game is never happening.
It'll happen someday.
Sure.
It's like my PolCon that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is never really going to happen. Because I can never get coordinated enough to get it off the ground and get all my friends together. It's like my friends are all old like me and have families and like limited time now or something.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I know, old man. I call you old. Have you even hit 40 yet? I don't think so.
No, next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we just talked that I stopped taking organizing events because I don't have time because of family just before in the same show. So it's not like I have any credibility.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that at my advanced age, I don't remember what you just said. So. Yeah, I find it's so daunting to do a large scale conversion project.
Yeah, for big armies, my pirate zombies were the biggest projects I've started, and it was too big, for sure, for the amount of time I want to pass on a single project, and that was back in a time where I mostly played fantasy. Now I play so many games. I wouldn't see myself doing a big conversion project like that for anything bigger than maybe an info of model in a smart skirmish game. And even then, most of the skirmish games I pick. I pick because of look. So why would I convert them?
Well, that's just it, right? Well, let's face it, models have come a long way. It used to be we'd play games and the models were fugly and we could do a better job sculpting them, right? So doing conversions on it made a lot of sense. Or models didn't change often, right? But GW used to be like every model used to be like those Khorne Berserkers. You know, we've come up with this sculpt, it'll be the sculpt for the next 15 years. Deal with it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? But it's not the way it is anymore. So now it's like, well, I could start converting everything, or I could just wait for them to launch a whole new line of this model in 5 years and be done with it.
Yep.
So, yeah. What about terrain projects? Did some pretty big... Well, I guess there's not really conversions, but...
Well, there was some...
But a lot of there were scratch builds, though, right? The discussion was also about scratch builds.
Yep.
Did you do some crazy scratch builds?
We've done some pretty big conversion projects from the Game Workshop kits. Some of those are not even complete. I have two of those pieces that Yom and I started for our urban citified terrain. And we completed a lot. We had enough to play on our 4x8, really packed. But we were doing two big centerpiece models, a lot of foam, cardboard, plastic card, metal pipes. A lot of work on those, and sadly they were never finished because we fell out of playing 40k before completing the table. But the projects were fun to work on, and the old Game Workshop, of what they were called? I don't remember the terrain line, but they were all panels and that you could assemble together to make the buildings, and not specific pieces like the newer stuff.
Oh, that still exists. The Cities of Death, like the Manufactorum, and yeah, like the...
Do the are they still sold like that?
Yeah, those still exist. They did a couple years ago. I bought a bunch.
Okay.
I bought a bunch of the Manufactorum ones.
Yeah. I didn't think they were still available. I thought that most of the stuff was the newer terrain makes... That box makes a specific piece of terrain, and you can always scratch build or do custom stuff with them, but it's not like made for it exactly.
Yeah. And maybe you're right now. I haven't looked in a few years.
Me neither. So it was just an impression. But I've done some other more random piece, like my old stone house for my Trollbloods for War Machines. Those were completely scratch built. And more recently, there's the...
The Yennerial building, right?
Yeah, the Yennerial Engineer Tower. That's not finished. And the balloon. The balloon is finished, but it will, in theory, attach to the tower when the tower is done. Yeah, I love working on those.
Just the...
mid-size project. It's not a full table. I would never finish a full table, knowing myself. But...
Endless Fantasy.
Centerpiece pieces? That's fine.
You finished those tables for Endless Fantasy.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, and that was fun.
You had two tables you did for that.
Yeah. I did two tables for that and one for Brushfire.
Oh, I forgot about the Brushfire one.
And I still have my small demo board, too, that I did for Endless.
Yeah. And I even helped with the Brushfire table a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that. I don't remember what I did, but I know I volunteered for slave labor.
Yeah, I think you helped me with the priming and base coat with the airbrush. Yeah, that was before I was used to it.
Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of kid bashing with the Ersarts pieces, too. That's a great resource if you like to kid bash and make custom terrain, but you don't want to fully sculpt it yourself.
That's true. But that's also pretty time intensive, right? Because it's...
Oh, yeah, for sure. You need to cast every single piece.
You know, unless you're going to buy multiples of the molds, it can be pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm. But some of the, like the molds we have, I think I even remember the number. I have 85 in mind, the dungeon accessories. It's such a great kit because it comes with crates, barrels, bags of food.
Yeah, it's multi-purpose, right?
Yeah, and that's great to make accessories for almost any type of medieval to oldish set of tables.
That's true.
Like we're using those for Gilbald, for obstacles and stuff like that, for dungeons, for fantasy tables. I had them on my unreal table when I did my setup to try the games solo. They fit almost anywhere.
Yeah, and Hearthstarts has been around forever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The very definition of an oldie but a goodie.
I think now a lot of those custom stuff might be going more on the side with the advent of 3D printing and shareable files on the Thingiverse and stuff like that. There's so many options now.
And even like buyable buildings, right? Like you buy the file once, you print a bunch of buildings. And the files aren't that expensive. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know.
Or even MDF.
Yep. So MDF has the downside of if you have to buy it somewhere, have it shipped to you.
Yeah. There's a price associated with it, but it's come a long way since the first flat buildings that were available.
Yeah. Well, everything's come a long way since then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I was actually thinking today of whether or not there was any modern buildings I could, you know, buy the file and 3D print for Pulp City.
Mm-hmm.
Or Batman or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Probably easier to look for Batman and then just use them for Pulp City.
Yeah. You'll have more luck finding it, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Pulp City, I tried to read that rule book this weekend. I tried and tried and tried. And every time I'd start reading, I read the same page like a dozen times. Because every time I'd start reading it, a kid would like, Daddy! Freak.
It's not hard, so worst case.
No.
First game, I'll be able to just explain it.
And I played a demo years ago, right? So it's more like a refresher and trying to remember how things work, like the action, like what costs action dice and how they're used and what the power dice are used for. Because, you know, I remember they exist, but I don't quite remember what they do or why. So, you know, just trying to clear that up in my head to speed up that demo game so we can get right to the action.
Yeah. Really looking forward to it. Like, I'm painting my monkeys right now, but I'm really tempted to start working on my generic goodies and generic villains to have more options available to do non-faction teams.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you that the Russians are right next to me. And I was like, maybe I could put them on temporary bases and start painting them and then just take them off. And, that's just a disaster waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. You should just wait.
I know, but I don't want to. All right. Have we blabbed enough about the main topic?
I think so.
I noticed you've got 45,000 news items this week, so.
Yeah, it was a pretty heavy week in releases that I find interesting. There's always so many releases for miniatures. Like
you know we don't do the news show anymore, right?
I know. So I'll skip some of them because
We got time. Go.
Yeah, but some of them can wait. That's the thing. They're not all Kickstarter and
never do
at the
tomorrow
end of this week.
What you could do today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first one I want to talk, we've talked about Bushido in the past.
Yes, we have.
Well, our first show, the Gen Con.
That was isn't that the year we tried Bushido?
Yeah, that's the year we tried the game. So in our first show, that was when we came back and had tried the Bushido.
That was 2014, I think, wasn't it? Was it earlier than that? I can't remember when we started the show.
14 or 15, I don't remember.
I think it was 2014.
Yeah, I think so.
The funny thing is, of course, we've recorded more this year than we have in the last 3 years, probably.
Yeah, if we don't count the news, that's for sure is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bushido are getting their second edition. It's on pre-order right now. It's named Risen Sun. The book will be available. There will be card packs for every faction. The book will also be available to download in the coming weeks. So you'll be able to get the rules for free. And they also have new faction starters for every faction for people who want to get into the game. With all new miniatures. And there's a two-player starter too. Come, including three models of two factions instead of six of one.
Why did you do this to me, Antoine?
They look good.
Yeah, I know. They've always looked good. That's not the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
We've barely managed to avoid it thus far. Yeah. And now you're like up the ante on me.
But now there's the Ito clan, the prefecture of Ryu, the Zhongyang pirates, the Savage Waves, and the Minamoto clan. Those are the five factions that will get new starters. Or maybe there's just the first five to get new starters, and other might come later. Not sure yet. Yeah, it's probably just the first five because there's a picture of one that's not part of those five already in the page. So
I had to resist doing a demo of this game at Adepticon this year.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So Maurice was working for them demoing, and I'm pretty sure that's who he was working for. And he was trying to tempt me. And I was like, no, back. Back to the pit from which you spawned. See, that's the problem. I go to these cons now and I know too many people, and too many of them are like you, Antoine. They're all like super nice people that play 8 million different games. And I am a sucker and will try anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the expression of fool and his money are soon parted? Well, I'm a fool. I'm a miniature loving fool.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Anyway,
so
sorry.
That's the first one. So yep. It's on pre-order right now, and the launch is scheduled for July 1st. So, not too long to wait. And I like that the rules will be available for free, so it will be possible to look at them, check them, see what changed, what didn't change. And
well, the rules were already pretty solid, right?
Yeah, the rules were already good. I think they, like with 5 years of releases, they just became convoluted, too many options.
Updates, and everything and not like being that. In the one place, right?
Yeah. So now they will be. Next up, we have from Ninja Division. One of their, how did they call them? Not exclusive miniatures, but one of the more collectible miniatures, the Risen versions that they have to help get
raise money
to finalize their Kickstarters or pending Kickstarters. This one is the Alabaster Automata.
Automata. I don't know. Pronounce it however you want.
Yeah. I'm sure I didn't say it right.
It doesn't matter. We know what you're saying.
Yeah. She's a Void model, so she worked either for a regular the Void faction or the three faction associated with the Void side of the game.
So the bad guys.
Yeah, the bad guys. She's kind of the evil version of Cordelia.
Are the Corsairs Void?
Yes. Corsairs, the No. I don't remember their name. It's the No. I had Oni in mind. I was thinking Oni, but saying No.
Yeah, but the No are called the No.
The No other factions, and the last one are the Black Diamonds.
Oh, so.
So two of your factions you can use her.
Apparently my factions
your
are the bad
two
guys.
Factions. Yeah.
I didn't realize my guys were bad guys.
That but some of them are not that bad. They're just on the bad side of the story. Some of them are not by choice. It's like one shot, your knight.
Mm-hmm.
she's not that bad, but they're a mercenary faction, and our leaders, like the guys running the Black Diamond themselves, are more susceptible to bribes from the wrong persons. That's mostly it.
Leave it to my guys to get bribed by the wrong person.
But yeah, it's a nice model. She comes on a 40 mil base. The model doesn't come with a card, but you get your digital download card. So the card will be available digitally. So you'll get the PDF. You can print her any way you want.
She's really nice. She's super detailed.
Yes. And I've seen some cast of her too. And the new, like the recent cast are really good. In the past couple of weeks, they released some chibis too. Like chibis versions of running models.
The Masterclass stuff, right?
Yeah, Masterclass. That's the name. And they look really, really good. So she's on the same quality level. She's $29.99, so $30 US dollar.
Which,
that's not too bad for the size of the model and for a risen, more limited model.
So. Yeah, and it's really nice to see them trying to make right.
Mm-hmm. And they've made some progress. Like they finalized, they had some stuff still remaining from Rail Raider that wasn't complete, and with those move that they've started to do, they've completed that one. So the last few, I have order in mind, but pledges that were still pending have been completed. So that's one that they can finally mark as fully fulfilled, and they can move on to the next.
Yep.
And hopefully they'll eventually get all the pending ones done. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
You know,
I like the game. I like the games. I like the guys. So.
Yeah, well, the guys were good guys, right?
Yeah.
I think, but good guys doesn't necessarily mean they don't make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes things just get out of hand, right?
Yeah.
You get so far under, it's hard to fix. So, good for them.
So that was the second one. Then we'll get into some Kickstarters. First one by Akaro Dice. It's mainly a accessory company. They do dice and stuff like that. Yeah. They have released the Pony Ball team for fantasy football. So it's a proxy team of ponies. And they are not at all inspired by My Little Pony.
Nope. They do not look like any of the My Little Ponies. Certainly not.
No.
Not at all.
I like those better than the Impact Ponies. Probably because they're closer to MLP.
No, the Impact Ponies are pretty close to MLP.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with all the accessories. You buy the cowboy hat and stuff. And the
Yeah, but like, the sculpts. Like the base cults, I find are farther away.
Maybe
it might just be an impression from the old original ones. But yeah, so they're nice. It's a small first miniature project for them. There's a lot of different models available. You can get your full team. They have some stretch gold unlocked, like sparkly block dice, turn markers, D8s for your random events and stuff like that. So everything you would need in a Blood Bowl game.
Yeah, and it's a really reasonable price, I find. I mean, I'm sure the models aren't huge because they're My Little Ponies.
Mm-hmm.
But still, 64 euros for the whole team? To me, that sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, it does.
Unless there's something I'm missing there, but
No, I don't think so.
Like, to me, that just sounds like good value.
Yeah. They're in Spain, and if you remember, the Mom miniatures are in Spain too, and their prices are crazy low.
I was going to say, and their economy collapsed, and
Well, everything is cheap, might be part of it.
Yeah.
And explain why they're laughing. Able to do it.
I shouldn't
be laughing. Like, my miniature has, their prices are so low.
Yeah, we've commented on that before, how it's insane. Probably for similar reasons, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. That's possible. The Kickstarter, by the time we release, will have just over a week left to go. They are already funded several times over.
What a shocking surprise that is, folks.
Yeah. So
apparently people still like My Little Pony. It's the last season of My Little Pony this year.
Oh, yeah, it is?
Yep, it's the last season.
We've got end back into it here because the French versions are back on Netflix, so my kids have started watching them.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly good.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those shows that I don't mind sitting down, especially now they're up to season 3, and I don't think I had watched stuff going forward
from that season. Yeah.
So it's all new stuff for me. So, like, sure, it's boring when they watch the same thing 25 times over, but now it's all new, so I kind of want to sit down with them instead of do adulting stuff.
Understood.
Yeah. So that's the first one. And after that, we will go to the Left at the Bottom of the Garden Kickstarter by Statuesque Miniature. It's a small miniature company in Scotland. This is a small set of lead miniatures of lost toys. Kind of fit the theme when I talk with about the stuffed fables over here, or even what I sculpt. Most of my small minis that are like plushies, stuffed animals, stuff like that. So this is a line of nine stuffed animals that have been lost by kids in the garden. So there's a couple of crows, a penguin, a cat, 2 dolls, and 3 singing rats. And they're cute. They're small. Sculpting is super, not nice, but smooth. I'm pretty sure they are 3D render. I remember seeing a 3D render at the bottom of the page. Yeah. Yeah. So they're 3D render, but it doesn't remove anything from the casting. The sculpting have been done deep enough that they don't look flat, like the stitches look 3D. It doesn't look like just a line added over.
Yeah, they like look
some
really
miniatures
good.
Do, like people who don't do much or are pretty newer to 3D sculpting, they don't increase them enough. But it doesn't look like that at all for those miniatures.
Yeah, no, it looks really, really good. And they have kind of an eerie look to them, right?
Yes.
And they're not scary miniatures. Like, they're not supposed to be scary. It's just there's something about them. You look at them, you're like, oh, that thing's creepy looking.
Yeah, well, the crows with the empty sockets for their eyes, and all the other miniatures with the X's, the X's stitches. They look well, and the hard black lining on the lead sample on the woody background, I think, add to the atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, it's cool. You get 9 of them. Their base pledge is getting all 9. You can also just pick from the add-on list. All 9, is you get them for £20.
Yeah, and I love the penguin with the necklace. Like, I don't know. It looks really cool. And the dolls. There's the little girl doll with the raincoat with the 3 buttons in the front. Mm-hmm. I really like that one too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's shipping in August, so it's not far away. We already see metal samples, so that.
Yeah.
They're just getting them into production. Yeah. The Kickstarter will have just under 2 weeks left to go by the time of release. It's already funded twice over. And, they look good. That fits right my style. So that might be one I get into.
That does not surprise me at all.
No, I'm sure you're not surprised. And that's it for this week.
Yeah, and I am pretty much done 5 Warbies. I've got a little bit of edge highlighting to do. So I'll do super quickly with a big old flat filbert brush. But aside from that, they be complete.
Yeah, my monkey is also almost done. I have two... I have bracers in mind, but...
Wristbands?
Wristbands. Yeah, two small wristbands left to paint and finish the base. That's it. Yep, finish the weapon, finish his stripe shirt, finish all the metallic parts, so... It's good. He will be done before next recording.
Well, look at you. Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah, I have a bunch of other monkeys to work on. Anyway.
Always more monkeys.
Yeah, more monkey business.
Though that was bad. It was enjoyable, but it was bad.
We should close the show then.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. let's end this before we massacre anything else. Yeah. All right. Well, as always, Antoine, it was a pleasure.
Yes, it was. I must say, I'm a lot less tired tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's only 10 o'clock.
Yeah. We're ending before our last recording time.
Yeah, exactly. We're ending before we start normally. So it's a good sign. All right, buddy. I will catch you next week. Thanks, man. Yeah.
Bye, all, and bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine, at Eltonio Berg, Steve, at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find The Nerd Bite, daily themed updates about several facets of nerddom, with main focuses on the Marvel Cinematic Universe and things that fall under the Super Hulock fandom. Also, nerdy adventures, conventions, theme parks, and loot crates. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.